The crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Woo-wee.
What a win. Jerry, I tell you what, my friend, you sure know how to pick them right now. 10-2, the victory for the Brew Crew. They defeat the Orioles. They've won the series. They'll go for the sweep tomorrow. I'm Dominic Catronio, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. That's the old National Bank talking text line, 855-616-1620. Jerry Augustine with us here again tonight. Jerry, I was worried that missing yesterday being such a thriller, 10 innings, Joey Weimer show coming in there in the clutch at the end. It turned out it was just waking him up, and today he sets a rookie record going 4-for-4 with 11 total bases, two homers, a double, and a single. What a night for the kid. I don't even know where to begin. Just saying incredible stuff from Joey Weimer.
Yeah, no, we saw it on the last road trip where he's starting to swing the bat very well, getting the ball to all fields. And, you know, the one thing you like about him is he goes up there with the idea that he's going to put the ball in play and gets a little aggressive sometimes on the pitches away from him. But I'll tell you what, tonight he just went up there, and what a great job last night getting a breaking ball late in the ball game that up over the middle plate and was able to drive the run in. But tonight, he was just very good at the plate. 4-for-4, 5 RBI, scoring 2 runs himself. You talk about a career night for a young ball player, a guy who was really starting to swing the bat well. I'll tell you what, Joey Weimer had a great night.
He's increased his batting average by 40 points, more than that now at this point actually, by 49 points during this 8-game hitting streak that he's on. This was the third game of these 8 that he's had multiple hits. He's now got 8 extra base hits during this stretch of the 13 hits. That's a 1563 OPS. And I think the most important number when it comes to Joey Weimer is the strikeouts, obviously. In 27 at-bats, he's only got 4 strikeouts during this 8-game hitting streak, which isn't breaking news. He's hitting the ball well and he's not striking out in hitting streak. But for Joey Weimer, given the strikeouts had been his kryptonite, to see him make contact, this is what we know he can produce.
Yeah, you know, the one thing I really noticed on him is being a little bit more patient at the plate. I think one thing they all say about young ball players coming up to the big leagues, you really don't get a good feel of hitting in the major league level until you get like 500 at-bats, and Joey hasn't had that yet. And so he's still learning, but his approach, when you look at the last road trip towards the end where he started swinging the bat pretty well, has been very good. Yes, they do make some good pitches on the ball down and away from him, but you can't make a mistake on him. And I think the one thing that I really respect out of him is what he's been doing lately. He hits mistakes. As a pitcher goes in, you better make a good pitch, a quality pitch in a good spot, because if you miss with it, he's going to hurt you with it. And he's done that. And he showed it tonight with the 4-for-4 and the 5 RBIs. Last night, getting that breaking ball was a mistake pitch. But he put a good swing on it, drove the run in. He's swinging the bat pretty well.
And then the second homer he hit tonight was on a breaking ball, and it was off of a lefty. And then the first homer he hit off Dean Kramer was on a flat cutter that he hit out of the yard on the first pitch of the at-bat. The other thing is he's been aggressive, and this is what we've known Joey to do. He's never up there shy. Like you said, he's up there ready to hit every single time. The first homer came on the first pitch of the at-bat. The RBI single came on the third pitch. The double came on the first pitch, and then the last homer came on the third pitch of the at-bat. There is something about being aggressive and forcing. I mean, also, he's the 9-hitter, right? He's going to see more strikes than maybe most 9-hitters are going to, given the fact that his breaking ball numbers aren't very good. But most naturally, 9-hitters are going to see more strikes, and now Joey's finally punishing those strikes.
Yeah, he is, and, you know, you like what he does. You talked about hitting in the first against a right-handed pitcher, going after pitches, being aggressive when the pitch is in the strike zone, seeing what you had. You got a zone. A lot of guys talk about young ball players, the way they swing the bat. They'll look for a zone, and when they get the ball in the zone, they're going to swing it. Left-handers are a little bit different. I like the way he did when he hit that ball, home run off the left-hander. He was patient at the plate, took a good look at it, and got a pitch that I think the pitcher didn't want to put the ball right in that spot. But I'll tell you what, it was a spot that he liked, and he drove the ball out of the ballpark. Just a great night at the ballpark. You got to like what he's doing. playing so well defensively. But I'll tell you what, offensively, starting to do the things you need to do as a young ball player to help your ball club. And he's stepping up, and that's what you like to see.
And one more thing on Joey here. We talk a lot about rookies. You know, maybe they'll have a hot start, which is what we saw for all of the Brewers rookies in the first month, first couple weeks of the season. And then the league is inevitably going to adjust against you. Then it's on you to make the adjustment back. And just to give the example, today the Brewers optioned Bryce Terang. And we'll talk about Bryce a little bit later on in the program. But he was one for his last 41 going into last night. And he got a couple of hits, including the clutch single to keep the game alive. But you know, he didn't make the adjustment quickly enough, and he gets sent down to Nashville. Here is Joey Weimer now looking like he's made the adjustment, and plus how much he's been needed defensively. But now he's making the adjustment offensively to say, oh, he might be finally turning a corner, seeing how teams are attacking him. Do you agree with that statement?
I agree. I think the one thing you look at at Terang a little bit, really was he was having a little bit of a tough time with hard, good velocity fastballs on the inner side part of the plate. They looked like they would crowd him and then go away. And it seems like he needed the ball up and away, and he wanted to go the other way. He had a ball hit where he pulled it the other day. It was a breaking ball. Guy made a mistake on. But you know, he was just struggling at the plate a little bit. Being sometime when you talk about pitchers throwing the ball in good spots, well, that's what they were doing at Terang. But you talk about Joey Weimer. What he is able to do is play coverage. He's making pitchers make good pitches on him. When you make a pitch on him, you better get the ball in, if you go in, off the plate, because he's strong enough to muscle the ball and drive the ball at a ballpark or get a base hit. The ball away, when he can get his arms extended, he'll take the ball the opposite way. And I think that's one thing I like about Joey Weimer as a young hitter, being able to hit that ball the opposite way on a bad pitch. And we saw Terang starting to do it the other night. He took that ball away from him and that little changeup, and he went the opposite way. Those are things you have to do. Those are the development things you have to do as a young player to be good offensively in the big leagues. But we're seeing Joey Weimer really making some big strides as far as having good plate coverage, covering pitches that are in the middle part of the plate, being able to muscle balls for base hits, but at the same time, making those pitchers make good pitches on them.
All right. We're going to give plenty of time to Corbin Burnes, though. I want to give a full segment to Corbin. 8 innings, just 2 hits allowed. We'll dive into the numbers in just a moment. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank with a local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank also knows that hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value. Only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. We still got more with Augie. I'm Dom, 855-616-1620. Come on in. Hang out. We're with you till 10:30 on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio with Jerry Augustine. Thanks for being with us on a Wednesday night. We spent the whole first segment talking about Joey Weimer, and as we should, 4-for-4, a rookie, really turning the corner. He's got an 8-game hitting streak going right now. Great stuff to see from Weems. As he would say, that's gas. I can't grow a mullet. Both Matzik and I are bald, but maybe that could become the hairstyle of the summer here in Milwaukee. But, I mean, Corbin Burnes, he's still got the flow going, Augie, and tonight looked like Cy Burnes, really for the first time in a couple of months. This is exactly the start that Corbin Burnes needed to get back on track.
You know, so often we talk about pitchers making adjustments and what they have to do in the game, and I thought right from the beginning, I thought what Corbin did was make an adjustment. Hunter Wendelstedt had a strike zone that was a little bit forgiving, where you could expand that strike zone, and he was getting that cutter on the inside part of the plate and down in the strike zone. And I tell you, Corbin saw that. He took advantage of it, and he owned it all night long. I thought when you talk about Corbin Burnes and the cutter that he had tonight, where he located the ball, he threw 96 pitches, 72 strikes. That's about 75% strike. That's very unheard of. When you talk about the way he threw the ball tonight, locating it, throwing the ball to good zones. I'm going to tell you what, you talk about a Cy Young. Tonight was a Cy Young-type outing. He threw the ball very well.
And I look at a lot of things when it comes to a starting pitcher and how they're being successful, what's working, things of that nature. We know Corbin has the cutter. The league knows Corbin has the cutter. And some people have always, you know, maybe said, oh, he relies too much on it. He's got to find another way to get guys out. I agree, but then nights like tonight remind me why I disagree. Because when Corbin Burns is able to use his cutter like a pitch just to get outs on, not necessarily strikeouts on, he can get weak contact, shatter bats, make guys uncomfortable. And tonight, the number that I look at, the two things that I think are coincided, he used his cutter 68% of the time tonight. That's one of his higher rates of the season. And he had his lowest career exit velocity against, meaning he had the lowest average hard contact against him of any game he has ever started in his big league career tonight. I think those two things are correlated. Seeing all these lefties he saw in the order today from the Orioles, they were never comfortable from the jump.
Well, I tell you, I think right from the beginning, he said, I'm going to go out there tonight after what he saw the night before, and I'm going to try to dominate with my cutter, my good fastball-style cutter. And he did that right from the first hitter. When you look at it and see the way he went on the ball game and what he did, and you look at a guy like Frazier, who's always been a nemesis against the Brewers, he went up there and he really went right after with that cutter and was able to strike them out. But I thought what he did really well tonight is not only did he locate the ball down in his zone very well with that cutter and up in his zone when he needed it with good velocity, is he used his changeup really effective tonight. He kept the Orioles off stride a little bit with that changeup. He threw that probably a little bit more than he usually does, and then he used his breaking ball. Always using that breaking ball. He's built off of three pitches. He has a good curveball and a slider and that cutter. Those are his three main pitches. He's got other great pitches. He's got the good fastball and a good changeup, but those are his main pitches. And what he does is when he can build off of those three pitches, he is very good. And I thought tonight he did that, building off of that good cutter, showing this curveball, but really using that changeup effectively. And that's where you got that exit velocity when you just kept the Oriole hitters off stride. He threw the ball very well. I thought this might be his best outing of the year.
It absolutely was his best outing of the year, if you ask me. 96 pitches, 72 strikes. He had one three-ball count all night. And when the season that he struggled with walks, obviously did not walk a batter. I don't want to turn this into, oh my gosh, how could he not go out there? Look at how soft modern pitchers are. But at the same time, like, I personally would have liked to see Corbin Burns go out there. This, me personally, as a baseball fan, see Corbin go back out there for the complete game shutout. However, I completely, having not heard Craig Counsell's comments yet or Corbin's comments yet, I completely understand why he didn't. It is June 7th, and if the Brewers play better in the second half, they're hoping they're going to play into mid-October. So save a few throws, and I don't want this to be a big devolve. Baseball fan-wise, yeah, I wanted them for the ninth. Brewers, you know, administration front office cap on, yeah, I understand why they didn't.
Dom, when you look at what's going on with the Brewer organization, you got to look at their rotation now. They've got starters that, you know, if you said beginning of season, they wouldn't be even in the ball game. They wouldn't even be out on the mound starting games for the Brewers. And I think because of the injuries they've had and what's going on, and they're not 100% healthy yet, what you want to do is you want to keep that one guy, that number one guy, you want to keep him as healthy as possible. And I'll tell you what, you get a game like this where you got a 10-0 lead, he's got 96 pitches, he's throwing the ball very well, he's in a zone, he's feeling comfortable right now. I think you think about long-term, and I thought quickly to take him out in the game. It's good to get Swayze in the game and let him throw an inning, but Corbin Burns was dialed in, and that's where you want to keep him. You saw him his last time out, starting to get that good feel. This time out, he was really dialed in. That's where you want to keep him. Let him go the 8 innings like he did. That's exactly what you needed out of him tonight, and he did just an outstanding job. And that's that building block you need, and you need him to be there all season long for you.
What a week for Weimer. This text from Josh here in Milwaukee. He seems to be picking up where Mitchell had to bow out. Burns was brilliant, and it happened all the night that Willie returned. I think that Terang needs some consistent at-bats to gain some confidence. Thoughts on today's roster move. Appreciate the text, Josh. We'll talk about that and our difference-making moment coming up in the next segment. Brewers win big, 10-2 over the Orioles. They've claimed the series over Baltimore. Back with Augie after this.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win 10-2 with Gary Augustine. I'm Dom Catronio. A couple of texts have rolled in here about the 40-man. We're going to get to those in just a moment. Right now, it's time for our difference-making moment of the game. It's brought to you by Annex Wealth Management. Annex Wealth Management's different, not driven by commission sales or pushing financial products you may not actually need, but for elite, comprehensive financial planning customized to who you are and what you need, contact Annex Wealth Management. Know the difference at annexwealth.com. Augie, you got a pick for your difference-making moment tonight?
You're going to laugh at me, actually. I thought the Adames home run was huge in the bottom of the first.
You did not steal that from me. I was going to pick that one.
That's not my moment. I just want to say that's what I would usually do. Honest to God, I really believe that my big moment in the game was Adam Frazier leading off the game and Wade Corbin Burns went after him. The pitches that he made to Frazier. Frazier's a good hitter. Played with Pittsburgh, was a nemesis against the Brewers, and he just dominated them. When I saw the way he went about that at-bat, making those pitches, he went up and in on them, he had a good break them all down, strike them out. I'll tell you what, I knew right then tonight was going to be a special night. I would say, for me, that was my turning point in the game because he was going to be dominant. You could tell from that first hitter, and sure enough, he went out and had a great ball game.
I mean, he had an 0-2 count on the first three hitters of the game. I mean, he came out of the gates blazing for Corbin Burns. I like that. But yes, as my reaction tells you, for me it was Willie Adames. Today in the clubhouse, there was a mix of moods, right? Bryce Terang on his way out, packing up his bags. Willie Adames on the way back in, activated from the concussion list, still with a little bit of a bruise underneath of his eye there on his left side from getting hit in the face. I mean, he had a big black eye last week, so to see him almost completely healed up. And then the reason why it's my difference-making moment is because it almost didn't happen. He was ahead in the count 3-0, took a pitch he thought was wide, Wendelstadt called it a strike, so he steps back in the box. If he had taken that walk, we don't get that moment, and he hits the home run, and you could feel there was more energy behind it. Not just because it was a home run to give the Brewers a lead, but because it was Willie, and it was the clubhouse life, and it was everything that he went through in the last 13 days or so to get him back to this point. And it was scary, but at the end of the day, he made it clear to the media today, I'm fine, and I'm lucky, and I'm happy for it, but I just want to play ball. And that officially put what happened a week and a half ago in the box and said, all right, throw that box away. It's good to move on.
You know, you go into tonight's ball game, and you talk about special moments, and that's what we're talking about right now with Adames. And you're right on, Dom. I tell you, to have that first inning, to have him come to the plate, to hit the ball at the ballpark, there's some reason why certain players do things on the baseball field that become very special. And Willie Adames is one of those guys. A lot of things he does, whether it's on the defensive side, offensive side, no matter what he does, the way he builds up his teammates, whatever he does in the clubhouse, whatever he does, he's a special style player. And we'll see what happened to him a couple weeks ago. For him to come back, hit that home run in the first inning, hit the Brewers on the board was really special.
Text here from Jerry in Bayview. The crew getting ready, getting the fire and ready to take off. I agree. They've won back-to-back series. Get this, for the first time since April when they won back-to-back series against the Padres and the Mariners. So it's been a little bit of a stop-and-go year all year for Milwaukee. Maybe this is a sign of some momentum to come given they won 3 out of 4 against Cincinnati. Maybe they caught them at a perfect time, given when Ellie De La Cruz has started with the Reds. Now they've taken 2 or 3 from the Orioles, and then the A's will come to town over the weekend. But let's talk briefly here, before I let you go, Augie, about the Bryce Terang move and the corresponding move, you know, with Willie Adames being activated. They optioned Bryce Terang down to AAA. You know, a lot of folks kind of maybe overreacted a little bit to it, trying to see, like, oh my gosh, how could you option Terang? This kid's going to be a massive part of your future. But that's the other thing I want to make clear. Bryce Terang is 23 years old. He has got a long career ahead of him. He's hitting 205, a 561 OPS. The league has figured him out in a way. The defense always showed up, but maybe this is an opportunity for him to hit the reset button down in Nashville.
I agree. I think when, first of all, you got to think about a young player and you look at what Bryce Terang has meant to the Brewers. He had the big grand slam earlier in the season, but you look at what he's done for Brewers. He's solidified himself as a solid defensive player. You got to be strong up the middle. What has he done? He's gone in at second base and just played outstanding. Sure, he can play short, but second base has been fantastic. He's proven to be one of the better second basemen in all of baseball. Another aspect he brings to the ball team is his speed. Running the bases, he can steal a base. He gets on base. He makes things happen. The one area where hitters struggle, young hitters struggle, and they go through, and I'm sure Joey Weimer is going to go through it, is at the plate. And it's getting those at-bats and understanding what you have to do on the major league level to be successful. And he just went through a slump where he just wasn't swinging at bad pitches. They're pitching him a certain way, and he couldn't make the adjustments. Last game he did. He had a good night last night. Swung the bat good. But to be able to go down, pressure off you, and work on some things, get a good 50 to 100 at-bats will do nothing but make Bryce Terang a better player. And I'll tell you what, they need him. He's a good, solid player, and he's really steady. And I'll tell you what, he makes this team a very good defensive team. So all the positives, I think going down is really going to help Bryce Terang.
Jerry Augustine here on Brewers Extra Innings. Only time will tell with Bryce, but I agree with you. And he was very upbeat. I'll have audio from Bryce in tomorrow night's Brewers Weekly after the game. We'll be live at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Won't have a traditional post game, so you can hear all about that in your podcast feeds as well. Augie, appreciate your insight as always, my friend. And you brought two W's with you this week, so hopefully more to come down the road when the A's come to town.
Well, I tell you what, playing this as good as they are against the Cincinnati team was an interesting series, and they went and played very well. Now coming and playing this good Baltimore team, opportunity to sweep. Can't get better than that. Need to be smart. That'd be a good way to end that series.
That'd be a good statement there and some belief in themselves to get June off to the right foot. My thanks to you, Augie. We'll have more to come here on WTMJ after this.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Hit down the left field line. It is back. It is gone. A two-homer game for Joey Weimer, and the Brewers have hung a 10 spot on Baltimore.
Jeff Levering's call as Joey Weimer had himself a night. He's got a hit in five straight at-bats, by the way. I got to check on that. That's a record by the time we're on the air again tomorrow. Brewers get the victory by a 10-2 final. Let's talk about who's hot and who's cold. It's brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Trust your family's comfort at home this summer with Sider. And don't wait until it's too late for your AC preventative maintenance. Schedule your appointment today at Sider, SEIDER.com. Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Families helping families since 1912. Who's hot? Who else but Joey Weimer? We talked about the numbers a moment ago, but during this eight-game hitting streak, he's hitting .481. He's got a .563 on base, a 1,000 slugging. Yes, a 1,000 slugging percentage. He's got 8 extra base hits of the 13 hits he's got in this eight-game streak. He's only got 4 strikeouts versus 8 extra base hits. He's also drawn 5 walks, and he's a perfect 2-for-2 in stolen bases. The reason why he's not stealing more bases is because he's just not on first base. He's been hitting doubles. He's been hitting homers. He's been hitting the ball hard, too, which I think is such a huge, massive step forward for him right now. I think that's going to be a big topic to watch, because the other thing to remember, Joey's had essentially one day off this season. One. And it was, you know, in early, mid-May. And then he had to get right back in there when guys were going and dropping like flies, getting hurt all the time. And when Garrett Mitchell was here, he was, you know, still playing right field a lot. Then Garrett wouldn't be playing against lefties, and then Joey would be playing center, and then he started hitting lefties well. I mean, he has got to be feeling it right now. And he's somebody that comes to the ballpark ready to go every single day. I give him a lot of credit for staying hot right now. We'll see how long this ridiculous stretch lasts for him right now. As for who's cold, trying to figure out what's going on with the Central. The Pirates dropped 2 out of 3 to the Oakland A's this week, and they got bludgeoned in the last two games. 11-2 yesterday, and they had the first game of the afternoon today. They lost 9-5, but they gave up 7 runs in the first inning. The A's have now 14 wins this year, 14-50. But the rest of the Central, aside from the Reds, no one really is off to blazing trails right now. So the Brewers at 34-28. Pittsburgh still the only other team above 500 at 32-29. They're a game and a half back, technically. Cincinnati wins on another walk-off today. This time it was Will Benson, his first homer of the year, and it was electric. Ellie De La Cruz, his first big league homer there as well. Brewers don't see them again until the end of the first half. Cubs has starting to take on some water now. They're 7 games under on the road. 8 games under overall, 26-34. And the Cardinals won tonight. They're 26-37. They won by the slimmest of margins, 1-0. John Gray, a complete game, 10 strikeout, 1 run allowed with no walks. And he got the loss. Crazy game out there in Arlington for that one. But the NL Central, aside from the Brewers and the Reds, is pretty cold right now. Looking ahead to tomorrow's series finale with the Orioles, Colin Ray gets the ball again against Kyle Bradish. Bradish 2-2, a 4.13 ERA. 48 innings, a 1.35 whip. Opponents hitting 269 off of him. He doesn't strike out a lot of guys. 41 Ks in 48 innings. Pretty decent control, you know, about 3 walks per 9 innings or so. It's not that terrible, not that great either. Keeps the ball in the yard for the most part. Bradish making his 11th start of the year. As for Colin Ray, he's given the Brewers chances to win just about every time he's gone out there. In his last start, 5 innings, 6 hits, 3 runs against the Cincinnati Reds. He earned the win in that one. He's actually won 3 consecutive decisions, going back to his 5 1/3 shutout innings against the Houston Astros since returning to the team after being optioned down to AAA, even though he didn't even make a start in AAA during that gap. So that's who's hot and who's cold right now, brought to you by Cider. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell coming up next on Brewers Extra Innings.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings.
Reports coming out from the clubhouse right now. It's got me worried. Corbin Burnes on Joey Weimer. This is from Adam McAlvey. He got a good haircut, and now he's the best hitter on the planet. I'm going to pause and say I don't know if that's a good haircut. Granted, I don't have any hair, so I'm not one to judge. If the Brewers make the postseason, Adam continued, Burnes vowed to get a mullet, too. It's going to be the haircut of the summer in Milwaukee, said Christian Yelich, as if that's a new development. I tweeted that earlier today, just saying. I don't think Craig Counsell has any hair talk in this one. Plenty to talk about Burnes and Weimer in a 10-2 victory for the Brewers. Here's the skipper.
I think he's aggressive, seeing the ball good, and just trusting what he's doing.
Is it hard to explain the difference between the first couple of months and what's happening right now? Because we knew that power was in there, but it just wasn't necessarily showing up.
I think players get hot, and it took him a little while, and he's obviously in a really good stretch right now where he's seeing the ball well, getting good pitches to hit, and not missing them. So, you know, that's kind of where it is, and it's producing a lot of offense and doing big things for us.
Is it good too to see that it's the whole field, right? The first homer's opposite field.
Yeah, I think that's when you know a guy's really, really going well, and the kind of ball's going all over the park. There's no question that that's it makes the other team look like, what do we throw this guy when the ball's going everywhere? So. He's swinging the bat well and having great at bats.
There's also cutter, slider from a right-hander, I think the first one. Is that significant for him just to get on some right-handers?
Yeah, during this stretch, I think he swung it well against right-handers as well. So, he's right now he's hammering strikes.
How about the entire offense tonight, the timely hitting?
Yeah, I mean, the two out hits early in the game were big for sure. A whole bunch of them. So that was kind of the name of it to me. It was just big two out hits.
Burns was like, is that? I mean, he had the great start in Arizona as well.
Yeah.
Same sort of stuff tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he did it with real like efficiency and ease. That's for sure. And he threw it. I mean, the big thing to me is he was just all over the strike zone. There's tons of strikes, challenging on every pitch for the hitters. And then that, you know, there was not a lot of favorable counts for the hitters. And so that, you know, obviously puts him in a hole with a guy like with Corbin stuff.
The cutter look as good as it has all year for him tonight?
Yeah. I mean, when you throw eight shutout innings, everything's pretty good.
Everything's pretty darn good, to say the least there, Kurt. Come on, Kurt. Of course it was looking good. Of course that was the best it looked. All right, let's listen to some highlights. That's coming up next on Brewers Extra Innings.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Yes, it was the Joey Weimer and Corbin Burns show tonight in a 10-2 victory for the Brew Crew, but it actually started with the return. Willy Adames activated off the 7-day concussion IL, and he made his presence known immediately.
To the left center and deep. Get up! Get up! Get up! Get out of here and gone for Willy Adames! He's back!
A shot from Bob Uecker on the call to left center. 400 feet away, Willy goes yard. 1-0 Crew. Then the show really began with Joey Weimer in the third.
Drills this one into the gap in right center. Back Santander looking up. It's gone! Two straight swings for Weimer. This time a two-run blast. And the Brewers have a 3-0 lead.
And he wouldn't be done. Back up again just one inning later, wasting no time.
Little flare, shallow right, and it's going to get down. Anderson's coming around to score. It's 4-0 Brewers on another RBI knock for Joey Weimer.
Jeff Levering's call there. So the Brewers up 5-0. All the while, Corbin Burns is mowing down the Baltimore Orioles. Through five innings, he had 6 strikeouts. Nobody had even touched second base against him. Only allowed 2 weak singles. In the fifth inning, a cool moment. John Singleton back in the big leagues for the first time in 8 years, and he's in the RBI column as well.
Swinging and a liner down the left field line. Stay fair, baby, it is. Into the corner. Owen Miller around third. He's coming on, and he'll score on a double by John Singleton.
His first RBI since the 2015 season. Congratulations to John. The Brewers would continue to pour it on from there. Brian Anderson, an RBI single on an excuse-me swing up the middle. That made it 6-0. Then another run comes in and an RBI double from Andrew Monasterio in the seventh. And all set the stage. Joey Weimer was searching for the cycle in the bottom of the seventh inning. He was thinking more than that.
Hit down the left field line. It is back. It is gone. A two-homer game for Joey Weimer. And the Brewers have hung a 10 spot on Baltimore.
And don't forget, even when you're throwing some bat, you got to throw some glove, too.
1-1. Hit on a line, right center. There's Weimer diving and making the catch. Have yourself a night, Joey Weimer. 4-for-4, 2 homers, 5 RBIs, and now a nice sliding catch in the gap in right center.
He sets a Brewers rookie record with 11 total bases, surpassing the mark that was previously 10 held by a handful of guys, including our co-host Jeff Cirillo, Bill Schroeder, and a handful of others as well. Congrats to Joey. Congrats to Corbin. He gets the win. The Brewers win 10-2. We'll wrap up the program after this on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Last couple minutes here of the program. Saw a few texts that came in here as well. I want to address these in tomorrow's Brewers Weekly. You can catch it live at 8 o'clock on WTMJ. It will be a pre-taped episode, but I've got a lot of good stuff already in the can for you that I'm very excited to talk about. I'm going to record it, though, after tomorrow's game. It'll air at 8 o'clock. Looking forward to y'all hearing that as well. Going to talk about Bryce Turang, going to talk about some defense specifically from Christian Yelich, and also Quentin Berry's going to join the show as well. Also get the reaction to this question: what's the ideal optimal four-person outfield, ignoring present injuries on the 40-man? I'll get to that as well. We'll talk a lot about the move. We'll talk about what the future looks like, some injury updates we got today as well. Mike in Colorado texting in, started with Burns on the mound, even with 16 hits and poor runners in scoring position and left on base, but hey, that means they're getting offense, Mike. Nice offensive output anyway. Excellent victory. Win or lose tomorrow, just keep the offense alive. I agree. Appreciate the text there, as always. Another couple of tweets here. Nothing being made of Victor Caratini being Burns' personal catcher. I will definitely address this in tomorrow's Brewers Weekly. So tune into that. We got some word on that as well. And break down the numbers for you, too. And this isn't a slight on William at all. It's just the fact is there's an added year of curve advance for Caratini as opposed to Contreras. So I'll explain all of that in tomorrow's program. As for the game, it's a 1-10 first pitch. Again, Kyle Bradish for the O's against Colin Ray for the Brewers. We'll be on the air at 12:35 with the On Deck Show. Jeff Levering, Bob Uecker, of course. We'll get you ready for the ball game. And we'll wrap up the series with the Orioles. And then the A's come to town, 7-10 on Friday, 3-10 on Saturday, and 1-10 on Sunday. So it should be a great time to be at the ballpark. My thanks to Sam Butson, our producer. And my thanks to Jerry Augustine for joining in on the program as well. I'm Dom Catronio. Until next time, keep on swinging.